Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archeries Podcast. Today I will summarize and review the book, What Would Nature Do? A Guide for Our Uncertain Times is a nonfiction work by Ruth DeFries, a Columbia University professor of ecology and sustainable development, and a MacArthur Fellow. Published by Columbia University Press, the book sits at the intersection of environmental science, systems thinking, public policy, and applied resilience. Its central purpose is to examine how life on Earth has endured uncertainty over billions of years and to ask what human institutions can learn from those evolved strategies. DeFries does not present nature as a simple moral authority or a set of ready-made solutions. Instead, she treats natural systems as long-running experiments in coping with disruption, scarcity, interdependence, and surprise. The book addresses contemporary crises such as climate change, pandemics, unstable markets, fragile supply chains, and political turbulence. Its argument is that societies designed only for speed, efficiency, and control become brittle, while systems that incorporate diversity, feedback, redundancy, and local knowledge are better prepared for shocks. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, nature is a model for managing uncertainty rather than predicting it. A central idea in What Would Nature Do? Is that uncertainty cannot be eliminated by better forecasting alone. DeFries emphasizes that natural systems persist not because they predict every disturbance, but because they are structured to absorb surprise. This distinction is important for modern civilization, which often responds to risk by seeking more precise models, tighter control, and greater optimization. Those tools can be useful, but they fail when conditions shift outside expected ranges. Evolution, by contrast, has favored arrangements that keep functioning under changing pressures, such as ecosystems with multiple species performing overlapping roles or organisms with flexible responses to stress. DeFries applies this logic to human systems that have become highly interconnected and therefore exposed to cascading failure. The book encourages readers to ask whether a system can continue operating when parts break, information is incomplete, or assumptions prove wrong. This is a different standard from maximizing output under normal conditions. It shifts attention from prediction to preparedness, from control to adaptive capacity, and from narrow efficiency to long-term survivability. Secondly, diversity and redundancy as safeguards against brittle efficiency, DeFries gives sustained attention to the trade-off between efficiency and resilience. Human institutions often remove duplication, standardized procedures, and concentrate production in the name of lower cost and faster delivery. These choices can work well in stable environments, but they create vulnerability when a single point of failure disrupts the entire system. Nature frequently takes a different path. Biological systems contain variation, overlap, and backup pathways that may look wasteful if judged only by immediate productivity. Yet these features allow life to continue through droughts, disease, injury, or environmental change. The book connects this principle to issues such as supply chains, infrastructure, and food systems. A leaf vein network, for example, is often used as an image of distributed resilience because damage to one path does not necessarily halt the flow through the whole structure. The broader lesson is not that society should reject efficiency, but that efficiency must be balanced with buffers. Resilient design accepts some apparent excess as insurance against shocks. In DeFries's framing, redundancy is not carelessness. It is a functional investment in continuity. Thirdly, feedback loops as self-correcting mechanisms in complex systems. Another major theme is the value of feedback, especially feedback that corrects harmful trends before they become irreversible. Natural systems rely on signals and responses that regulate growth, stabilize cycles, and adjust behavior to changing conditions. DeFries uses this principle to examine human arrangements that lack timely correction or that ignore warning signs until damage has spread. Financial markets, public health systems, climate policy, and resource management all depend on feedback, but the quality of that feedback varies. If signals are delayed, distorted, or suppressed, decision makers may continue harmful practices long after risks are visible. The book points toward mechanisms that slow destructive momentum, create opportunities for adjustment, and prevent runaway collapse. This is why examples such as market circuit breakers are relevant. They interrupt escalation and allow information to be reassessed. DeFries is not arguing that every natural feedback can be copied directly. Rather, she shows that durable systems need channels through which consequences are registered and behavior changes in response. Without such mechanisms, complexity turns small errors into systemic crises. Fourthly, bottom-up knowledge and the limits of centralized control, What Would Nature Do? Also explores the importance of decentralized information. In complex environments, knowledge is often distributed among many local actors rather than concentrated in a single authority. Natural systems operate through countless local interactions, with order emerging from feedback among parts rather than from a central command. DeFries applies this perspective to governance and resource management, especially where centralized solutions fail to grasp local conditions. This does not mean the book advocates pure decentralization or unregulated markets. The more careful point is that top-down control can become rigid, while purely bottom-up systems can produce inequality, overuse, or neglect of shared responsibilities. The relevant lesson is balance. Effective systems need local knowledge, participation, and flexibility, but also larger rules that prevent exploitation and coordinate action across scales. This idea connects with well-known work on common resource management, where communities can sometimes govern forests, fisheries, or water systems more effectively when they have authority, information, and accountability. DeFreeze presents bottom-up knowledge as a practical resource, not a romantic ideal. Lastly, humility as a scientific and policy stance toward complexity. The book is distinctive in the way it links ecological science with humility. DeFreeze repeatedly treats human civilization as part of a larger web of complexity rather than as an external manager standing above nature. This stance matters because many modern systems are built on confidence that technology, markets, or centralized expertise can override ecological limits. DeFreeze does not dismiss human ingenuity, but she cautions that sophisticated systems can become less transparent and more fragile as they grow. Humility, in this context, is not passivity. It means recognizing incomplete knowledge, designing for error, and learning from systems that have been tested across deep time. The book avoids a simplistic claim that nature is always harmonious or benevolent. Natural systems can be violent, competitive, and wasteful. Their relevance lies in the strategies that have persisted under pressure. By grounding policy lessons in complexity rather than certainty, DeFreeze encourages a form of planning that expects surprise. This makes humility operational, build buffers, monitor consequences, diversify options, and allow institutions to revise course before failure becomes catastrophic. In conclusion, What Would Nature Do? Is well-suited for readers interested in sustainability, environmental policy, resilience planning, systems thinking, and the practical consequences of ecological science. It will be especially useful for policymakers, business leaders, urban planners, students, and general readers who want a framework for thinking about crises without relying on either technological optimism or despair. The book offers practical benefits by giving readers a vocabulary for evaluating fragility, diversity, redundancy, feedback, decentralization, and adaptive capacity. These concepts can be applied to supply chains, public health, climate adaptation, financial regulation, conservation, and institutional design. Intellectually, the book helps connect biological evolution with social organization while avoiding a crude claim that society should simply imitate nature. Its strength lies in translating ecological principles into civic and economic questions without losing sight of complexity. Compared with many books on environmental crisis, it stands out because it is not mainly a warning, a policy manifesto, or a celebration of biomimicry. DeFreeze presents nature less as a source of individual inspiration and more as a record of tested strategies for survival under uncertainty. But that makes the book a grounded contribution to resilience literature, particularly for readers seeking interdisciplinary insight rather than a single solution. If you would like to support Ruth DeFreeze, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.